From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Tanya Gwathmi from the Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about factors of hormone metabolism that may make African Americans more susceptible to hypertension.
Dr. Tanya Gwathmi is a research fellow at the Hypertension and Vascular Research Center of Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center. She holds a master's degree in reproductive biology and endocrinology from Eastern Virginia Medical School and a doctorate in reproductive physiology from Cornell. Dr. Gwathmi, studies have shown that African Americans are more likely to develop high blood pressure and develop it earlier in life than Caucasians. Which medical statistics clearly highlight this point?
Well, first let me mention that anyone who's interested in learning more about the topic of high blood pressure and related cardiovascular diseases can find a lot of valuable and reliable information, including specific risk factors for these conditions online at either the American Heart Association website, which is AmericanHeart.org, or at the website for the Centers for Disease Control, which is CDC.gov. But I would like to point out some specific statistics of interest, particularly for the African-American community regarding high blood pressure. So first of all, about 35 to 40% of African-Americans, so that's a little less than one out of every three African-Americans has hypertension. And importantly, one out of every five deaths, or 20% in the African-American community, is caused by hypertension because of damage to the organs that it causes without apparent symptoms. So the kidney, for example, is one of the main organs damaged by high blood pressure. And the incidence of end-stage renal disease, or we may know it as kidney failure, is 3 to 5 times greater in the African-American population than it is for Caucasians. And then, of course, African-Americans with hypertension have an 80% greater chance of having a stroke than the general population. So these statistics are pretty staggering, and the importance of having our blood pressure checked regularly then becomes of extreme importance, especially if you are African-American.
Blood pressure is regulated by angiotensins. Would you talk about the different angiotensins and the roles they play in blood pressure regulation?
Sure. As you said, our blood pressure is regulated primarily by a hormonal system called the renin-angiotensin system. And there are several different forms of the angiotensin, which are peptides composed of short chains of amino acids. But there are two that we are most concerned with when it comes to regulating blood pressure. Angiotensin 2, which plays a major role in causing our blood vessels to constrict, as well as causing us to retain salt and water, which are all conditions that would cause an increase in blood pressure. And the second being angiotensin 1 to 7, which has actions that are opposite to those of angiotensin 2. So it causes our blood vessels to relax or dilate and promotes salt and water loss from the body, which are conditions that help us to reduce blood pressure. And it's really the balance between these two forms of angiotensin that helps to determine our blood pressure. So if angiotensin 2 gets too high, then blood pressure would likely increase as a result. And under normal conditions, angiotensin 1 to 7 would act to oppose the actions of angiotensin 2, bringing the blood pressure back to normal. So in this way, angiotensin 1 to 7 has a protective effect against the negative actions of angiotensin 2.
At the recent experimental biology conference in Anaheim, you discussed your team's findings about biochemical differences that affect blood pressure in Caucasians and African Americans. What specifically did your team discover?
Yes, in that study, which is only a part of a multi-project investigation led by several renowned researchers in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, Pediatrics, and Hypertension and Vascular Research, we specifically looked at the enzyme that's responsible for the synthesis of angiotensin 2, which is called angiotensin converting enzyme, or ACE. as well as the enzyme that breaks down angiotensin 2 into the protective form, angiotensin 1 to 7, and that enzyme is called ACE2. Now, using a special technique called high-performance liquid chromatography, we measured the activity of these two enzymes in urine that was collected from African-American males and females, as well as Caucasian males and females at 14 to 15 years of age. And these activities can be used to indicate the amount of angiotensin 2 or angiotensin 1 to 7 that's being produced. And what we found was that African-American males have higher levels of ACE activity, the enzyme that's responsible for making angiotensin 2, than do African-American females or even Caucasian females. And these findings may help to explain the fact that males typically have higher blood pressures than females until females reach menopause, when their blood pressure increases significantly. And interestingly, we also found that African-American females have lower ACE2 activity, the enzyme that's responsible for making the protective form, angiotensin 1 to 7, than Caucasian females have. So in short, African-American males have more of the hormone that contributes to the development of hypertension, while African-American females have less of the hormone that protects against the development of hypertension. And more importantly, when we look at the ratio of these two enzymes, the ACE to ACE2 ratio, which is a useful predictor of the likelihood of developing hypertension, we found that this ratio in both African-American males as well as African-American females is twofold greater than it is for Caucasian males or Caucasian females.
I'm going to throw in a question here that I didn't ask before. It was obvious, but I think we can answer this. So when you look at this this difference in terms of ACE activation or ACE activity, does anybody have any idea why it's higher in African-American males and females than it is in Caucasians?
We do not know that at this particular point in time, and we're not sure if this is something that's triggered at birth or if there's some environmental exposure or something of the sort that triggers this increase later in life. But because the population that we are looking at is 14 to 15 years of age, this is actually pretty early on. We could very well go back to an even younger population or perhaps even infants to make this comparison, and to my knowledge, these studies have not been done yet, but that would be an interesting thing to do in order to determine just how early these differences can be seen.
How might your findings be used to predict, as early as possible, the risk for developing high blood pressure?
Well, again, as I mentioned, individuals can be assessed for these changes in the angiotensin system very early, and all it takes is a simple collection of urine or perhaps blood to measure these different activities to let us know the prediction or the likelihood of developing blood pressure, high blood pressure later in life.
What research do you and your team have in mind to take this these studies you just finished and move the work on to the next stage?
Well, certainly the work we've done so far has been on merely a subset of subjects that we have as part of a larger investigation. So we certainly intend to completely analyze the rest of those remaining participants, but we would also like to consider extending this study to other collaborative institutions so that we can get a broader, more comprehensive understanding of the sex and racial differences that we're beginning to see with regards to blood pressure regulation.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse, saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.